We're doing the Sefer Amidot, we're up to Beit Resh, Beit Gimel, the 7th chapter of Shaar HaBitachon. I want you to know, the concept we're about to learn in the Sefer Amidot is a concept that Nachmanides really spells out, but the Sefer Amidot, without quoting Nachmanides, is going to express the same idea. Ki ha'olah al da'atam shelo yo'il la'atzmo be'emunato be'ashgachat ha'borei yitbarach im hasiba mitnagedet. Someone who thinks that having faith in Hashem won't help any if nature doesn't allow it. How could he go to shul to daven at the time of davening? Hey, wait a second. You know, you should open your store at this hour. What are you doing in shul davening? Won't be of any help the fact that God is happy that you're praying. That won't give you parnasa. You won't have sustenance with that. And many people think that way. The laws of nature are, if my store is closed, then I will not have what I need. So a person is worried. How could I do what God wants? On the surface, I see that I will lose by it. It seems to go against nature. So this is a common problem. He's dealing with it as though it's far out. It's not far out at all. Some people have difficulty being honest. They think they're not going to succeed if they're honest. Some people have difficulty keeping their shop closed on Shabbos. Everyone has their area where it's challenging. Chalila min lechshov ken. One should be careful. Shouldn't approach life this way. Ki lefanav yitbarach galuy v'yadua sof davar mireshito. God knows the ends from the beginning. Urtzono moshila lo bechol ha'masim bitmidut. And Hashem's will controls all things consistently. Kayom shabra otam shesh timei v'reshit. Just as on the first day of creation, Hashem formed the way nature would play itself out, so too consistently Hashem is involved. Gam ki einei basar ro'ot ki hateva chofshiyim neged ratzon ha'bore. Even though human eyes seem to see that nature rules against the will of the Creator. Kim ya'alech ish al ha'gechalim halo raglav tikavena. The verse says in Proverbs, if you walk on burning coals, your feet will burn. And if you drink poison, well then, people who drink poison die. And that's the nature of fire to burn, or poison to kill, or harm. So, today it happens to be a good chapter to be learning. Have we crossed the 1,000 mark? Have we had 1,000 missiles shot at us yet? We've crossed the 1,000 mark. So we lived through a week now. It's phenomenal. It blows you away when you think about it. 1,000 missiles. 3 casualties. Every Jew is precious. But 1,000 missiles? I'll show you a beautiful allegory. Habachira asher le'adam le'tov u'l'ra gam ken hi chofshiyit. Ke'omram zichonam libracha. We turn the page. Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Oto malach amunah l'rayon layla shmo. The choice between good and bad, well, that's also free. As our sages taught, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa taught, the angel responsible for pregnancy, his name is Laila. V'notel tipa, and he takes the drop that's going to become the baby. U'ma'amida lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'omer lefanav. He holds that drop before the Holy One, blessed be He, and says before Him, Ribono Shlolam, Tipa Zo Matehe Aleha. Master of the world, what's going to be with this drop? Gibor O Chalash? Will he be brave or weak? Chacham O Tipesh? Smart or stupid? Ashir O Ani? Wealthy or poor? Vilu Tzadik V'Rasha Lo Kamar? The angel doesn't ask God, will this drop be a person who is wicked or pious? And as our sages say, Amar Bichanina, Kol bidei shamayim chutz meirat shamayim. Rabbi Chanina taught, everything's in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven. That's up to us. We don't control many aspects of nature. You could work very hard and always get it wrong. You have a lot of people, they open business at the wrong time. They close business at the wrong time. Everything they do is someone else gets it right, they get it wrong. But that's not in our hands. We could do the best we can. Either we'll succeed or we won't. Ibn Ezra said, everything he tried went bad. He said, every job he went into went bad. He wrote a poem, and at the end of the poem he says, I'm convinced if I'd sell candles, the sun wouldn't set. He said, nothing I do, everything doesn't work out right. I'm not destined to make money. Yeah.
Don't we say in Rosh Hashanah that one's parnosa is decreed from one year, from the year to the end of the year?
We do.
So it doesn't seem to be death tefa. You can do if you're whatever is decreed, you can do. And if you open your shop, it's going to succeed or not succeed. It seems to me that you're earning what you're supposed to earn.
Oh, that's where he's headed. He agrees with you. It's what he's going to say. He's saying there's an error that people make in which they adopt this attitude and they say, God's not running the show, there's nature. So how do I go daven if I'm going to have my shop closed? So he says, yeah, this is a challenge people have. And he's coming to explain the error in that approach. Yeah?
Does it say that you have to, though, give it your best efforts? In other words, within the halacha, you can't not, let's say, you can't decide to not be open at all, and you're going to make the same money, or minimal hours. You close Shabbos, you close holidays, you can set aside time for learning, but doesn't it imply, pardon me, it's like, you know, the joke, you know, we had the guy with the lottery ticket, buy a ticket, or you can have the woman set for you, but you refuse to ever go on a date. So I'm saying I don't think one can take that, you know, this is what you're going to get no matter what you do. You may never get more than that no matter what you do, and it certainly won't help you to be dishonest or anything, God forbid. But I think, you know what I'm saying, you can't just say, well, the Rosh Hashanah was declared that I make $60,000 this year, whether I work 2 hours a day or 6 hours a day, it doesn't matter.
I'll get to you in 1 second. Yeah.
I was going to say, if someone on the level of Ibn Ezra could never do anything right, it wasn't a question of he was brilliant in that. The fact is, if this is, he earned X amount, and he did his best, this is the amount he was meant to earn.
Right. But what Aviel is saying is also true. The Medrash says, on a few psukim, the Medrash says, on Yosef it says, V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem atzeich biyado. Whatever Yosef did, Hashem would make succeed. It says Hashem created the 6 days la'asot, to do. So Chazal say in numerous places, you do, you will merit blessing. You don't do, you won't. So the idea, I think, is best explained with the following example. King David knows that his father-in-law, King Saul, wants him dead. So he runs. What are you running for? Either it was decided on Rosh Hashanah that you're going to live, or it was decided not. But what difference does it make if you run or not? So the answer is that what's decided on Rosh Hashanah is sometimes, if you run hard enough, you'll live. Meaning the decision in heaven doesn't always come out, he'll make this much or he'll make that much. Sometimes the decision in heaven is, if he'll put the effort, he'll make this much. And if he doesn't put the effort, he won't make that much. The fact that it's predetermined what you're going to make doesn't mean that it's going to happen automatically. It might mean that if you try, like you're saying, if you buy the lottery ticket, you got to do something. Each person on their level. One of the things we pray for, it's in the blessing that we bless our children on the eve of Yom Kippur. There's a long blessing that a parent blesses his child, and in that blessing, we bless the child that his parnasa should come easily. Do we have a master here?
Yeah.
But even as an example, you can't lose sight of it. That's hardly a tragedy. Someone as great as him was blessed maybe with not being so caught up in business. He became Ibn Ezra. Can you imagine if he was swallowed up with people always asking him for this and for that and advice and business? So the fact that he lamented that he had no luck in business could be a huge blessing, right? I don't think we have to look at that in supplements because he was on such a high level.
And then
it worked for him. People have to work for him to make it even better. Anyway, couldn't help it.
They don't have the blessing here. Look in the art scroll, they bring it. There's a blessing we give our children. So we say, benachat, we wish our children they should be able to make their livelihood in a calm, comfortable way. Beheter velo beiser, doing something that's permitted. They should never go down the wrong route. So, yeah, what you're saying is correct. We have to do ours. Asher misug hazeh lo gazar alav yitbarach kol me'uma. When it comes to this area of whether we'll be a God-fearing person or not, there isn't any decree up above that's going to affect him. What's fitting is that if a person chooses to murder his friend, well then, that should be part of his free will. Even though the Creator doesn't want him dead, אבל הבעל בחירה בבחירתו הרעה הוא בוחר ורוצה להשחית חייתו. One person who has free will chooses to hurt someone else who has free will. וכבר עשה הבורא יתברך את אדם חופשי בבחירתו לעשות כל שיבחר ולא ימחה בידו. So Hashem says, I'm going to let a person go after his free will. I'm not getting involved. הנה מן הקבלה ידענו כן הדבר כן, but our tradition is that it doesn't work that way. It's not that Hashem created nature and says, okay, within nature you do whatever you want. כי חכמנו זיכרונם לברכה כבר העירו אותנו כי מעולם לא התנגדה הבחירה על רצון העליון שהתאמר אחד לחברו. Free will works in its own realm. But once it invades someone else's realm, once my free will contradicts your free will, so then our sages say, no, you don't have the capacity to do that. אבל שניהם מתקיימים ונערכים במשפט החוכמה העליונה. Both are run within the wisdom up above. אשר לא לאדם דרכה. As much as we have free will, that doesn't mean we're going to be able to do something that God doesn't want to happen. The Hamas could shoot 1,000 missiles at us, but thank God he doesn't want it to hit. So then even though they had 3 or 4 missiles that landed in Tel Aviv, and those were huge missiles, we're talking about missiles the size of this room. The missiles, in order to hit Tel Aviv, have to be 6 meters long. You talk about huge missiles hitting Tel Aviv. Okay, so those missiles landed, as you guys well know, in Shetach Patuach, open area. Imagine New York City, open area. We don't know where this open area is in Tel Aviv. Where do we have open area? You know, you go through Tel Aviv. Okay, but that's what happened. So Chazal tell us that a person cannot hurt his fellow man if it isn't willed from above. Rak Elokim yitbarach levado yadat mekoma. Hashem knows what he's planning. Kamamar, as the verse says, ki yipol hanofel. The verse describes a person falling off of his neighbor's roof. So the verse describes it as the person who is destined to fall. And our sages said, hanofel uva misheshtim evreshit. From the 6 days of creation, part of the God's plan was that this guy would fall off of a roof. Ki vechetomet. Meaning, the Torah describes, don't leave your roof without a guardrail, lest the guy who's supposed to fall falls off of your roof. So our sages said, that's a funny way to word a pasuk. What do you mean the guy who's supposed to fall will fall off your roof? So our sages said, yeah, if he fell off your roof, there are 2 issues at play. One is, you didn't put up a guardrail on your roof. 2 is, it was predetermined he was supposed to fall, but God didn't say it should be off of your roof. What did you make a hazard there for? Megalgalin chova al yedei chayav. God makes bad things happen through bad people. If you left your roof without a guardrail, God let someone fall off of that roof. Ve'im kol ze amsebev mimitato lo inake, ki lo yada mizeh, ve'im ken etzlo odam naki. Being that we don't know God's calculations, so from our perspective, he's clean. And we discussed this last week. This idea that I wouldn't be able to hurt you if it wasn't predetermined, if it wasn't predestined. That the other person would get hurt, but that doesn't mean I can absolve myself and say, well, obviously you deserved it. What do you want from me? Right? There are 2 issues here. One is the question, does he deserve it? Well, if he didn't, I wouldn't get away with it. 2 is the question, do I have a right to do it? So when I'm judged as an individual. God says, hey, you, what'd you beat up your friend for? When he's judged, well, that was his judgment. I have no right to say it wouldn't happen if you didn't deserve it. Even though in truth that is true. Yeah?
How would the predetermination for the other individual to fall affect his free will?
He will fall. The only question is where.
Why is he predetermined that takes away all of his free will?
He's used his free will in a way that led him to the point where he will fall.
Determined from 6 days of creation. So how does...
Right.
We got in big trouble last week with the Holocaust and everything. You know, the term deserved is...
So let's take a different scenario, because really there are two scenarios described in the Talmud. This guy, maybe that was the way it was determined he would pass away from the world. Just like it was determined Sarah would pass away at that moment, but Hashem wanted it to play itself out that it would be the minute she hears about Yitzchak's passing. Miriam was predetermined to pass away when she passed away. I mean, there is a clock ticking up there. At some point, the guy's going to go. And sometimes it's decided he's not going to go the natural way. He's going to fall off a roof. Then there's another area in Talmud where the Talmud says that a person will sometimes do something that will make it that he deserves to die by falling off a roof. There are a few places in Talmud where it says that. So that's what I was referring to. But okay, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about someone who it was decided from before he was born that this is the way he was going to go. Yeah, that's an encouraging thought. I'm serious. Not everyone that fell off a roof was it a punishment, because in some places in Talmud it's described as a punishment. So here you see clearly, no, it's not always a punishment. וכבר כתב מרן הכסף משנה זיכרונו לברכה בתם המרם הרגו אין נהרגין. The Kesef Mishnah explains a difficult line in the Talmud. Maybe, well, if you want to finish the thought, finish the chapter, that'll be another 10-15 minutes. Yes? Gabriel, yes? No? Maybe? Okay. So we have a mitzvah called Edim Zomimim. If witnesses give false testimony and say that so-and-so deserves the death penalty, and then after the courts come to a decision, before they execute him, another pair of witnesses walk in and say, how could you testify that? You were with us at the time you claim you saw the crime. So the witnesses who testified get the punishment they wanted to inflict. That's called Edim Zomimin. Now what happens if they succeeded in inflicting the punishment? If after the person was executed, then a new pair of witnesses walk into court and say, hey, you guys were with us at the time you claim you saw the crime. So then we have a rule, haregu, if they actually executed the person, en neragin. They do not get the death penalty. So Rav Yosef Karo explains, ki elokim nitzav ba'dat kel. God is standing by the courts. We have a concept that the courts have a heavenly assistance. Ve'im ken kashru yitbarach natan makom el ha-betin she'etze kazot mitacht yadam. So if God allowed the court to make such an error, שיומת איש על פיהם על פי הוראתם, that they will be the cause for a person's dying. Their ruling will cause his death, ודאי היה חייב מיתה. So then we assume, okay, it's been done, so then it must have been decided in heaven that he has to go. וגם כאחר כך נתגלה כי שקר הנובו, and even if afterwards it's been verified that the reason he was executed was false, ודאי היה לו עניין אחר משהו אמת, there must have been another real cause, ואנחנו אין לנו רשות לעיין במופלא מאיתנו כי עמוקו. There's something going on here that we don't understand. Because God let the court make such an error. מי ימצא לבאר משפט ההכרח והצדק. Who could figure it out? We don't know how to figure things like that out. Why did he deserve to die? But now he's dead, there's nothing you can do. So the Torah says, if now he's dead, then that means that on some level God let that happen or wanted that to happen, we don't get involved. ואנחנו רק את תורת רחמנו זיכרונם לברכה אשר מעולם נשמור כי זהו מגודל חוכמת הבורא יתברך הצופה ומביט ומתקן על עילותיו שישתווה הרצון אל ההכרח. And we don't know these things. We have no way of running our life in accordance with these things. We don't know God's calculations. That's his great wisdom. So we say, okay, we got to go with the rules he gave us. And after that, it's his job to make the system work. But what I do want you to know, he says, is ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu natan koach basiba lehanig et bnei adam b'malach ha-tivi. It's true. God set up a system of nature. אבל הוא נורא עלילה כי סיבותיו ועלילותיו בהכרח השתוו עם רצון העליון הראוי לפי שעה. But he works within that system too. That's the idea we saw in Nachmanides. ושניהם יתאמתו, כי הסיבה הטובה מסבב וטוב לבעליה, כאשר חפץ העליון יהיה להפסידו, הנה הסיבה היא תסבב לו הפסד. Sometimes the very thing that's supposed to be good for a person could bring him down, because Hashem wills it, should be that way. אם שהיא טובה בעניינה, even though it should have been healthy for him. You know the guy who was eating wheat germ his whole life? Wheat germ. Wheat germ. Postum. And then they discovered that the postum gets fertilized with all the chemicals that come out of the wash of the regular fields go down to the postum. So maybe it's better. I assume it's better today. But people sometimes try to do what's best and suddenly they discover they've been poisoning themselves all these years. We had friends who were taking iron supplements. And then they got massive depression because you take an overdose of iron, so it could affect the person wrongly. I had another friend who was taking calcium supplements and suddenly their teeth went black because you take too much calcium, it destroys your teeth. So everything, even things, so these are people who took things in excess, but even things that are done correctly, even though it should ordinarily benefit a person, Hashem works within nature and sometimes the very thing that should benefit can cause harm. ובהפך כאשר הסיבה כפי התגלגלות הדרכים הטבעיים יש מעניינה לסבב רעה ורצון העליון טוב עליו הוא יתברך יעשה בחוכמתו הנפלאה אשר מסיבה זאת עצמה יסובב לו טובה גדולה. Sometimes you have something that should cause the greatest harm, but Hashem doesn't want it to be so, so then that thing could turn out to be the best thing. ולא שישתנה כוח הטבע התמידי אשר בסיבה להשתוות אל הרצון העליון ברוך הוא. It's not that nature suddenly doesn't about face. כי אם עצם הטבע יהיה כאשר היה, nature is going to continue its course. ואם כל זה הוא יתבח יעשה כרצונו הטהור. But Hashem finds a way of making his will come to play. ואתה אוזנך ושמע פשר הדברים. Now listen, and I'll explain it to you. And this was all introductory to this idea that he's going to still expand on. The idea that we are not bound to nature. We work within nature, but at the end of the day, there's one who's running nature, and if he chooses to make it good for a person, it'll be good for a person, even though the nature seems to be acting against him. And the opposite is also true. A person could have everything in his favor, and things still won't work out. One of the areas we see this, so we mentioned, we see it now in our own lives. We see what's happening here. But one of the places you see it very blatantly is in Shiduchim. Very often you see someone who you tell yourself, who's going to want to marry that person? The person is has nothing to offer. Everything is backwards, you know. I remember we had a guy in yeshiva. He couldn't see straight. His eyes were always going like this, zigzag. He couldn't sit down and learn a page of Gemara. He'd spend the whole day walking around, what's in the kitchen, what's, you know, checking out what's doing. It was a total slob. He couldn't do math. He couldn't hold on to 2 cents in his pocket. He was the first to get married. And he'd walk around and he'd come to yeshiva and he'd say, I'm the luckiest man. My wife doesn't let me have a penny in my pocket because she knows I can't hold on to any money. And and he got a good job and he became a teacher. And okay, see, what does that say about us teachers? But at any rate, Lemaisa, you saw this guy take off and you ask yourself, who hires a person who can't see his students straight, whose eyes keep going cross-eyed and uncross-eyed, and he doesn't know how to do math? You know, he'd get off the taxi and give me the money and the receipt and ask me, tell me, did he give me the right change? So I don't know what he's teaching. I never asked, but I hope not math. But you see this. You see sometimes late nature doesn't seem to be supportive of this guy getting married. And boom, he's married. And then you see a bunch of other people who are highly successful. And logic would say they should be a very good catch. And they go year after year and they're not married. And I have no logical explanation. So that's one area where you see this. That Hashem gives the blessing and he finds the way to make it work for this one and not work for that one. And we don't know his calculations.
You said a Jewish court, and we go by the rules. You said a court, and we go by the rules that they said. It turns out that by our logic, witnesses come and see if they made a mistake.
He confused me when he said we go by the rules God gave us. That only applies to a Jewish court, or would that apply to a secular court that sends somebody to death erroneously? Because that's not going by the rules he gave us necessarily. You follow what's my question? I mean, either way, okay, not God's accountant, however he does it, but
so he began with this idea, Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel. We assume that when you have a dat kel, when you have a Jewish court, so then there's God's presence there. If it was a non-Jewish court, so then maybe, you know, for whatever reason, he deserved to go, otherwise he wouldn't have gone. But then we don't say that same idea, okay, God made this happen.
He could have gone another way, possibly. You mean.
What?
It's possible that he could have gone another way. God allowed for that, or I don't know. And that's why it's a little confusing. You know, the degree of detail that's predestined isn't clear to me. It's probably hard to explain it in a few minutes. But, you know, the element of chance as a result of misuse of human free will, or is it just, you know what I'm saying, the fact that this person is meant to die, as God decreed, whatever reason, understood. The fact that he was meant to die as a result of this monarch or this jury or this situation, it wasn't according to the rules he gave. Because that statement you gave, God gives us rules, and if we go by them, you know, then whatever errors are made are meant to happen. But if the court doesn't go by those rules, it would seem to contradict that statement. We go by the rules of how we... am I clear?
I hear you.
Okay.
He's going by the Kesef Mishnah. I think that if we go with what he said earlier, and that is that one human being can't harm another one if it wasn't decided in heaven that he should suffer that harm, so then you should apply that to a monarch too. You're right.
Anything, even somebody on the street, you know, comes up, you know,
right?
Insane man, you know, whatever, you know, boom, okay.
I'm saying that's what he's saying.
Okay.
He's saying there are two questions here. He might be wrong for what he's doing, but the other person wouldn't suffer it if he didn't, if it wasn't decided
rules
above.
That were followed, that we can follow there, as opposed to
right.
Two witnesses.
Correct. Agreed.
Serious students, so one of the few things we know, if it comes up, all right, come over there. We know a few words.
You have a good point, right? Going with his other concept.
Seems like it was within him.
Right.
Okay, I don't want to belabor it.
Yeah.